Bible this morning, if you would, and you may need a couple of pieces of paper, you know, to stick in, because I want you to turn to three passages. Mark chapter 10, all right? Mark chapter 10, and then go to Luke chapter 12, all right? Mark chapter 10. I started to say put one hand at Mark 10, and then one hand at Mark 12, and the other hand at Acts 22. Say, well, we ran out of hands. Well, stick your nose in one of those places, all right? Three different places in the Word of God, and we're going to go to each one of those. And Mark chapter 10, Luke chapter 12, and Acts chapter 22. And, you know, we're going to turn to each one of them. We'll read a verse in each one, and then we'll come back and go through them again. So just stay with us this morning, and we'll try to give you a message from the Word of God. First of all, there in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible said, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and go to the same verse, verse 17. In Luke 12, 17, the Bible said, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Now, if you would, to Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 22, verse 10, the Bible said, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. Now I want you to notice three passages of Scripture, three different individuals, but they all ask the same question. Just four simple words, what shall I do? What shall I do? Now, have you ever asked that question yourself? Well, I have. There's been plenty of times I wondered, okay, what shall I do? Back during the whole COVID mess, I think I wondered that more than I have any other time in my life. You know, what shall I do? What are we going to do here? You know, what are we going to do there? And how should we do it? So it's an important thing, important situations. But in these three instances in the Scriptures, those three different individuals faced three different, really, set of circumstances. And at three different times, they said, what shall I do? But I want you to notice those questions. They all have application to you and I, all right? Every one of them has application to us. So we'll take a look at them one by one. We're going to start there in Mark chapter 10. Well, let's pray just for a moment. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help today, and I pray you'd help me this morning as I try to preach. And Lord, would you help the folks that are listening too? Lord, may the Holy Spirit enable me to speak, and Lord, would you help folks to hear? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. First of all, there in verse 17 of Mark chapter 10, this is a fellow that we know has been referred to as a rich young ruler, all right? And he asked the question, Master, what shall I do? Now, his question really was, what shall I do about my soul? What shall I do about my soul? Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. I think that question demands priority. The reason we're looking at this one first is because it's the most important. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you, in spite of what the world says, there is something more important today than fame, than glory, and than riches, all right? There's just something a lot more important. There's no profit in any of those. You can have all the fame that there is the world can offer. You can receive all the glory that can be bestowed upon an individual. And you can have more wealth than you could spend in three or four lifetimes. But if you've lost your soul, man, you've lost everything. You've lost it all. You say, why do you say that? Because it's the soul of man that is going to continue. I've had the opportunity to preach a lot of funerals, a lot of funerals. And some of those are funerals for people that their Christianity didn't go very deep. And oftentimes you get in, and the music that they won't play at a funeral service almost depicts the idea that this departed friend or loved one is now floating somewhere out yonder in the atmosphere. Well, I just want to tell you, they're not. That's not what's going on. Now, this body and that body you live in, it's going to dry up. It's going to be gone. The Bible said it'll return to dust, and that's where it's destined to go back to. But that soul that is the real you, that's not true of it. Hey, what you see today is not really me. I've said that before. You just see the shell, the house that I live in. And I don't know if you ever do it, but I sometimes realize I'm on the inside looking out, all right? The real me, you don't see the real me. The real me is a very slender, muscular individual, very good looking, handsome as can be. And, you know, all that kind of foolhardiness, all right? Hey, the real me's on the inside. And the real you's on the inside. It's the soul. Now, this body, oh, it's getting old. It's getting feeble. It's developing aches and pains. It's got problems. But I'm going to tell you, it'll be gone one day, but the soul's going to continue on. It will last. The Bible tells us it's going to go one of two places. It'll either, when your body dies, your soul will leave that body, and it'll either go to a wonderful place called heaven or an extremely terrible place called hell. And there's no in between, there's no other spot, but that soul's going to continue on. Now, so what will I do? This rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ, and he said, now what am I going to do about my soul? What shall I do about my soul? Now, there's only one wise thing to do. There's only one wise thing to do about the soul, and that is to trust it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust it to Him. There's no other place. Remember what the disciples said one day? The Lord, He had a lot of His followers turn away from Him, and He said to His disciples there, He said, will you also go away? And one of them stepped up and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Hey, there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go. Take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4, would you? Acts chapter 4. I often refer to these verses because they're so wonderful. They're so plain, it's hard to miss it, okay? It is very hard to miss. The Apostle Peter was preaching. He's preaching to the Sanhedrin. They've endured some persecution. And beginning in verse 10, he said, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone that Jesus Christ, he said, he's the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now notice this, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. Hey, what shall I do with my soul? Well, if you've got any wisdom at all, you'll come to the only one that can save that soul. And by faith, you'll call upon him and ask him to forgive you for your sin and ask you to save that soul of yours. All right? Man, where else would you go? As the Bible said, there's nobody else. There's nobody else to go to. Well, we'll go to religion. Religion just offers hope in this life. It just maybe make you feel good while you're here. But man, it's not what you do while you're here, and it's not how you feel while you're here. Hey, when you die, where's that soul going to go? Hey, according to the Bible, only the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him. Come to Him by faith. Call upon Him. What shall I do with my soul? Bring it to Jesus Christ. Trust Him to save that soul. Hey, that's the first, what shall I do? And now I want you to go with me, Will, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Here's another individual that comes. Now, this man, the Bible tells us, is also rich. And this is the parable the Lord used to illustrate the truth. And this is another rich man, but he's not known as the rich young ruler. He's usually referred to as the rich fool. I want you to notice there in verse 17, and he thought within himself. Now, just in case you hadn't figured it out, let's go back and read verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Now, he was a rich fool, not because he asked the question, but because he asked a fool, and he took the fool's answer. All right, he said that. Verse 18, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Hey, his question was not, what shall I do about my soul? His question was, what shall I do about my substance? What am I going to do with all this stuff I've got? Now, most of us only consider that when we have to move. Then we think, what am I going to do with all this stuff that I've got? All right? What am I going to do about it? Hey, as I said, he wasn't a fool because he asked the question. But he was a fool because he answered it himself. He didn't go to somebody wiser than him to talk to about it. Hey, I'll be honest, I think it's an important question for us to ask today. Now, most of us sitting here this morning would say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm not rich. I am not rich. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Brother Bennett was here in Sunday school, and he said most of the people in the country of Brazil, their average income is $300 a month. A month. Can I say to you, compared to them, you're rich? You're rich? As a matter of fact, compared to them, bless God, you're doing good, all right? Now, the problem is you don't realize you're doing so good, all right? You know, our problem, and by the way, I'm not indicting us because God's been good to us. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God that the situation is what it is for you and I, and I'm glad. But our problem is we become consumed with the substance and the stuff that's out there in the world. With the word that's used to describe folks today is materialistic. Materially, boy, are we forever more materialistic. You know, it's how much more can I have? What more can I find that I can accumulate? How much that I can keep or collect and I can have for myself? I want the best. I want the latest. I want the greatest of everything. And we're just, man, people, they're consumed with that idea. Christmas time's coming up, all right? There are people all across our land today that will go into debt to buy a bunch of stuff for each other and for their family members and for children that they don't need and don't really know how to appreciate, because we want more. We just want more. I think about this, the rich fool's answer to that question, what am I going to do with my substance? Well, I know what I'm going to do. It's an old saying, I'm going to get all I can all I get, then I'm sitting on the can, right? That's what he did. That's what he did. I mean, he said, I'm going to get it all, I'm going to store it up, and I'm going to take care of the important person in this world, me. And I'll be honest with you, boy, that's really the way most people look at life today. Most people look. Now, I say that knowing we're coming into the generous season of the year. People get to Christmas time, all of a sudden they become very generous. They think, oh, what good thing can I do? Folks are out with the bell and the red kettle, and people go by and they drop stuff in and they think, boy, it makes me feel good. That makes me feel good. I've dropped a little bit in there, and I've done my part. Hey, but the question is, what are you going to do? What shall I do about my substance? What am I going to do about my stuff? You say, preacher, it's no problem for me. I don't have that stuff. Well, maybe you do, all right? Maybe you've got more than you realize you do. You see, what am I going to do? Well, the Lord gives us the answer. You're still there in Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now notice, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Hey, I got news for you. God didn't give you everything you've got to consume on you. God's not blessed you that you can do it. That there's a biblical principle, and the biblical principle is one of stewardship. God gives us what he gives us, all right? And he blesses us. And I believe this with all my heart. Everything I have is because God's given it to me. So the truth of the matter is everything I have is God's. It's his, all right? And he's blessed me with it. Now, he turns around and says, all right, I'm going to give to you, and you've got that substance, so what shall I do with my substance? God says, well, you need to be a good steward. You need to be a good steward, all right? You're not given all you're given to consume it on yourself. It's just not that way, all right? Now, God wants you and I to learn to give. Learn to give. Now, not just in one season of the year. I'll be honest with you, people call me up, they want me to donate to this or that, the other. Here's my view of it, all right? All the giving I do, well, almost totally, all the giving I do is through my local church. You see, I figure the world will take care of the world. But when it comes to God's business, I think God's people are supposed to take care of it. God's people are supposed to take care of it. Hey, that's a biblical principle. God did not set up a church and say, okay, now have candy sales to support the church or have raffles to support the church. No, he said God's people are supposed to support the church, all right? We're to do it. And God blesses us, and we're to turn around, and we're to learn to give. And by the way, God blesses the giver, not the keeper. All right, he blesses the giver. Then we learn to give. So he says, all right, I'm going to give you this, and all of this I've given to you. Now you need to be a good steward of it. A good steward of it. Now we believe in tithing, okay? We believe that the first 10%, that first fruits, belongs to him, all right? I mean, it's his. We don't question. I don't question that part. That first 10% goes to God, and I learned that when I was a little kid, and I began to tithe, and I began to tithe when I was making an allowance, didn't have doodly squat. But I gave that 10% to God. And I've been doing it all my life ever since, all right? I don't even think about keeping what I know belongs to him. That name crossed my mind. But I found out something else. I found out that God said, now listen, I'm going to let you get in on a good thing. Have you ever had somebody tell you that kind of thing? Man, I don't know how many people have come to me and said, listen, I want to tell you about this good thing I found out about. And it's some kind of multi-level marketing deal. And I'm going to let you in on it. And I'm in on it. I'm going to let you in on it. It's going to be a good deal. Well, I found out something so much better than that. I found out something so much better than that. I found out that God said to me, and he says in his word, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. He said, if you'll give, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there'll not be room enough to receive it. So the rich fool says, oh, I've got all of this. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to lay back. I'm going to retire, eat, drink, and be merry, and everything will go good. God said, wrong answer. Wrong answer. What shall I do with my substance? If you got any wisdom about you, you'll learn to do what God says. You'll learn to give. You'll learn to give. Now wait a minute. Let me say this to you. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm preaching this morning. I'm not saying to you, if you've got a retirement account, you ought to empty it. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that whatsoever. I don't believe there's anything wrong with you having a retirement and you setting things up, take care of you in the time to come, you know. They want you to do that. I know my kids want me to do that, all right, because they know if I don't, they're going to have to, all right. So they're praying, Dad, fix things up, all right. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But wait a minute. I don't have to live expansively. I hear about people that have gold fixtures in their bathroom. And I think, why in God's name would you want that? You know, I've got this 34-bedroom mansion. I hadn't found anybody could sleep in more than one bed at a time. And I hadn't found anybody that wants 33 other people to come visit them at the same time. You know, I don't see any reason for having that. There's a huge mansion and all of that kind of thing with all those bedrooms and all those bathrooms. I don't see any reason for that. Not for me, not for you, not for anybody else. God says, hey, you ought to learn to give. You ought to learn to give. Now, I got in on a good plan because years ago I learned that there was a thing called missions. You give to missions. I got a missionary here this morning. I'm glad our church gives and supports over 50 missionaries or mission projects. I'm glad. I'm glad we've had a part in the establishment of Mountain Valley Baptist Church, Pocatello, Idaho. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful there's now a self-supporting church there. We had a little part in getting that there. Thank God for it. I'm glad that there's an independent Baptist church of Belize City down in Belize. I'm glad it's there. I'm glad there's a man there, Brother Blanco, standing today preaching the gospel. People are getting saved. I'm glad there. I'm glad we had a part in that. Glad we had a part in that. Hey, I'm glad there's mission. There's churches up and down the Amazon River and the Rio Negro in Brazil, because we supported years ago. We just had a little part in the work of Joe Hawkins. Thank God for it. There's Indian Bible Institutes there. Thank God we have a part in that. I'm glad, man, to give to missions. Give to missions. I like to do that. I like to do that. God help us to realize God didn't give us what we did. He says, all right, what are you going to do? What shall I do about my substance? Learn to be a good steward. Learn to be a good steward. Oh, my friend, can I say this? Let's not live for stuff. Let's not live for stuff. One of these days, it'll all be gone. It'll all be gone. It'll be gone. And I tell you what, I'm glad the investment I made in God's work will last forever. Forever. Yeah, I'm going to be a good steward. Going to be a good steward. Now, so the question, what will I do about my soul? What shall I do about my substance? The Bible gives us the answer, but I want you to go into Acts chapter 22, would you? Acts chapter 22. Here's the fellow by the name of Saul, Saul of Tarsus. He's really Paul the Apostle by the time we get to Acts 22, but he's telling about his experience when he was Saul of Tarsus. He's telling about that experience when he got saved, when God dealt with him. And he begins to tell about that, and he tells how he persecuted believers and all of that. And he said, I was on the way to Damascus, and in verse 6 said, it came to pass, I made my journey. It was come nigh to Damascus. About noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do? I got news for you. I don't believe he's talking about his soul. I think that'd already been settled. I don't believe here he's talking about his substance. But he's, what shall I do about myself? What am I going to do about me? What am I going to do about me? Now, I want you to notice the answer God gave to him. The Lord said to him there in that verse, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Now, Saul of Tarsus was a religious man, but he got concerned about himself when he got saved. He got concerned about himself when he got saved. And the question then became, all right, now what am I going to do with me? What am I going to do with myself? What am I going to do with my life? All right, what am I going to do with it? And the answer was, it'll be told thee. Now I want to tell you this morning, I believe the same thing is true for you and me. You said, well, what am I going to do with myself? I believe it'll be told thee. I believe it'll be told if we just ask. Now, the problem is there's so many today that aren't listening. They're not listening when God tells them, here's what I want you to do. Or they don't like what they hear, so they decide, I'll ignore what I've been told. Not going to do that. I refuse that. Hey, so what am I going to do about myself? What will you do? Well, wonderful. Hey, it'll be told you. Look, God's told us. God's told us what to do. The Bible tells us. He's given us the answer in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Flip your Bible over there, if you will, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. He said, what am I supposed to do with myself? Well, verse 15 of 1 Peter 1 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, so what am I supposed to do about myself? You're to be holy. Now, our problem is we don't really understand holy because we've listened to the world. We think holy is reserved for God. No, it's for us. Basically, we boil it down to this. That means you and I ought to live a clean life. We ought to just decide, you know what, I'm going to try to live just as clean a life as I can. Paul, writing to the church, he said, mortify your members. Amen. Why? Because these members like to sin. He said, you put them to death, you get them under control. You control that life. You control it, what it's going to do. Don't yield yourself as instruments unto sin, but yield yourselves to God. Hey, that's what we're to do. That's what you shall do, all right? Be holy. Just set out to decide, you know what? I'm going to live a clean life. Hey, you know, the truth of the matter is we know what's wrong. We know the things that are wrong. Hey, you've been around church very much. You've heard. You've been taught. Now, we don't pay attention. We don't like it. But you know what we're supposed to do. There's some things we're not to do. We're to watch out, all right? These hands like to grab a hold of things they don't need. These feet like to take you places you shouldn't go. These eyes like to look at things you ought not to look at. You've got ears. They like to hear things you shouldn't be listening to. And your nose ought to tell you that your life stinks, okay? When you yield these instruments the wrong way. They ought to tell you that. What shall I do, preacher, with myself? Be holy. Be holy. Live a clean life. Hey, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go there, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I told you, you go and it'll be told you what you ought to do, all right? It'll be told you. Can I say this to you as a preacher of the gospel? That's part of my job. Tell you what you ought to do. Now, wait a minute. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what God says. What God says. So what does he say in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2? The Bible says, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So what are we doing? You said, you've already talked about stewardship. Yeah, that's given. No, it goes beyond that. If you want to be a steward, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Faithful in what? Everything. Faithful to obey the Lord. Just faithful to obey Him. If you'd let me say it, you know, faithful in seeking what God wants. Seeking what God wants. We ought to constantly be looking, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Just constantly looking, how do you want me to live? And then being faithful to do those things. Being faithful to do those things. Faithful to give, we've mentioned that. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I think you ought to do it. Faithful to give. Faithful to attend. Faithful in the house of God. Just go. Just go all the time. Every time doors are open, faithful. Faithful. Faithful to do that. Faithful to be faithful. Just in everything. In everything. Faithful to pray. Faithful to read your Bible. Faithful in those matters. Faithful to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Hey, what shall I do about myself? Well, take yourself and use yourself for God. John 10, verse 27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's what you do. Hey, what shall I do about my soul? You need to trust the Savior. You need to trust your Savior. Hey, what am I going to do about my substance? Well, don't just abuse it and use it on you. Be a good steward. Give to God. Learn to be a giver, not a keeper. What am I going to do about myself? Hey, learn to follow the Lord. Just faithful to follow Him. If you want to help yourself, then follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let a man deny himself. Why? So you can follow him better. Follow him better. There's not many of us here this morning that wouldn't have just as soon stayed in bed a little longer. Now, there might be some that weren't, you know, that's fine. I woke up this morning, it was a little before 5 o'clock. And I would love to tell you, I hopped out of bed, read my Bible for an hour, prayed for an hour, but I didn't. I laid in the bed hoping I could go back to sleep. But it didn't come until time that I said, okay, I got to get up. Then I was sleepy again. I could have stayed there longer. I just could have done that. But I realized, you know what? You said, well, you had to come. You're the preacher. No, I'm just like you. I could have called Brother Dunbar. Brother Dunbar, I ain't going to be there today. You got it. I've told him, brother, every time you come to church, you better be ready to preach. Every time you come, be ready. And because I never know, all right? I never know when I'm going to need to lay in the bed. No, I was just kidding about that, all right? But no, I'm not going to lay in the bed longer, okay? I don't know things that happen. Hey, I'm just telling you, I could have done that, but I said, no, I got to deny myself. I need to be in the house of God. Why? Because I need to fellowship with God's people. I need to hear from this missionary. I need to hear what he's got to say. I believe it's going to be a blessing to me. I'm going to get in on that, all right? I need that. Hey, listen, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to follow him. If you've got any wisdom and you're a child of God, be faithful to follow him. He is the shepherd. People love the Psalms, Psalms 23. And we love to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want much. But the truth of the matter is, I'm afraid a lot of people lie when they say the Lord is my shepherd, because if he is your shepherd, you'll follow him, and a lot of them aren't following. What am I going to do with myself? He's the shepherd. We're his sheep. Sheep follow the shepherd. That's what we do. So what am I going to do about myself? I'm going to follow the shepherd. Now, this morning, what are you going to do? Have you taken care of the matter of your soul? Is it settled? And I realize this morning, I mean, I know we got a lot of people out and may have more people watching and listening on YouTube than we have here this morning, but I don't know who might be hearing this, but the question is, have you taken care of the matter of your soul? Have you got that settled? The rich young ruler didn't have it settled, and he didn't settle it. He walked off. You hear me? He went away without trusting the Savior. He asked the right question, but he didn't take the answer. Hey, what about your substance? Are you just simply storing it up for yourself? So when you die, those people that are going to inherit can fight over it. They're going to be fighting over it. You said, oh, it won't be but a buck. They'll fight over it. People today fight over anything, man. It doesn't have to be a lot. They'll fight over it and carry on, you know. Hey, listen, have you got that matter of your substance? Are you rich toward God? Hey, what have you done about yourself and with yourself? And I just simply say, won't you straighten up and serve the one who died for you? He is your shepherd, then start acting like a sheep and follow him. Follow him. Would you stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed?